Blog Talk Radio.
Revolution is the solution. If you work in corporate America, be a revolutionary. If you work in government, be a revolutionary. Gather material, gather information, learn everything you can. If you got a high level of security clearance, you can go in doors that other Negroes can't go in. You go in and see whatever you can see, and then bring it back to your black community so that we can be all that we can really be. Be a revolutionary in whatever you do. This chapter should grow overnight. Every one of you that is not a member should join today. What else do you do? You say, well, I'm too old. You're not too old. We need you. We need your wisdom. We need your maturity. You say, I'm too young. We need you. We need your fire. We need your spirit. We need your zeal. You say, well, I'm middle-aged. I'm not too young. I'm not too old. I say, you're just right.
That's right.
For what needs to be done at this time, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called the time and what must be done.
Yeah.
The time and what must be done. I want to cover the 10-point program and platform and cover a few things with you. Why is the new Black Panther Party talking about God?
Go ahead.
Some of the original Panthers angry with us because we talk about God. They say ain't no religion in the Black Panther Party. That ain't, you ain't supposed to have no religion. You're a fool.
Right.
We don't want to do nothing where God is not in the center. You will never build a mass movement among black people if you leave God out of your movement.
Right.
It's silly. That's why all kind of lumping activity can crop up. That's why we end up with tons of drugs on top of our heads. Brought in by COINTELPRO, K. Edgar Hoover. That's what I said, K. Edgar Hoover. K. Edgar Hoover and the modern day Hoovers. Coming.
And we welcome you to another edition of the Black Power Truth Hour here on blogtalkradio.com. The show is sponsored by the new Black Liberation Militia. We're here every Thursday here on blogtalkradio.com at 6 p.m. I'm your host, Brother Anthony. So glad you could join us. Our call-in number, as always, is 516-453-9457. You can also listen to the show at www.blogtalkradio/NBLM. And as we get started, I want to bring in our Supreme Commander. He is Prince Najee Muhammad. Black Power, Commander.
Black Power, sir.
How are
I'm
you?
I'm on
today?
The road at work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're dealing with a cycle of evil. We're dealing with the cycle of plot, scheme, and takedown by the open enemy and the eternal enemy, this no good black devil, this black cracker, blue-eyed nigga with blind hair and black skin. You know, I was leaving from work last night in Ohio. State troopers pulled me over.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled guns and air on me. And some of the Muslims I worked with at the other station, they were all like, he ain't done nothing. Back off of him. Leave him alone. Then you got some scared niggas. Hey, Najee, man, what's this dog? Get down on one knee. I was getting down. Never did. And I got my truck back 2 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to tell you and put a picture. We're dealing with rats. We're dealing with eggplant. We're dealing with snitches. We're dealing with bombers. And we're dealing with dang-gone shit stores within the movement and trying to take down uncompromising, progressive, strong, black revolutionary, black nationalist, happiness leadership here in the hills of North America. And And then why did the state trooper on the phone, they getting somebody's questioning them this and that. Do you find this? Do you find that? No, no. And then they had two black brothers came up on the scene, sergeant, lieutenant. They took the truck. They said, well, we're going to let you go. We're not going to take you to jail. You haven't done nothing.
Wow.
This is why. Go on, brother.
No, I was just saying, it's just, you know, it's you know, that, you know, that could have been me, that could have been a relative or anything. And people have to understand the kind of stuff that we have to go through as black men in this country. And quite frankly, I'm tired of having to explain myself to people all the time. This is the kind of stuff that we have to go through, you know, in this country. The fact that all we know, we're just trying to live our lives, but we're under siege 24/7, 365.
That's right.
It's crazy. You know, I don't know if you saw the story, I think it was from last week, where you had a black man who was tailed out of Walmart because of, you know, he had two, I guess, white children with him. And of course, you know, you had these white women that tailed him and called the police because you know, he dared to have his children in the car. Now, the whole thing of having, you know, dating outside your race or whatever, that's a whole other issue. But the fact that they would literally call the police on him because he had white children in the car just shows you how far people are willing to go in this society.
Right. I hear you, brother.
Yeah, it's a crazy existence, Commander. It really is. We have looks like we have Brother Trey on with us as well. And Brother Trey, I don't know if you were listening to the discourse, but you know, I want to get your opinion on all of this as well. Thought we had Brother Trey on.
I hear you, bro.
Yeah, but yeah, just elaborate even more on that as we talk about today's topic, Commander.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say just going into it. That was basically my point. Just, you know, how we're still under siege in this country, and you know, for the grace of God, that could have been any one of us that had to deal with the police at that moment.
Right. Because, you know, we got to understand that the black man going through a lot of stuff in this country, and we understand that the stigma that is targeted at us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to understand. The stigma targeted at us in this country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We as a people, black men, we got to understand that who the open enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had a little something last night dealing with how the white boys want to do this and do that. But we, like Khaled Muhammad said, we do got some good brothers on the police force that have understanding. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We really do. So that could have took me away. But it was two sides, a sergeant and a lieutenant, a black man. And it was good. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was really worried about it. Had a little smirk on my face. I know he took the smirk for any other reason, but I've had the smirk because I'm like, damn. And this is kind of, we need more black men like this. And I use that authority behind that badge. You see?
Yeah.
So he knows it's bullshit. You see?
Mm-hmm.
He override the black.
And there's not enough of them out there in the police department. You know, you saw the other day where the officer who killed Tamir Rice, all they did was just transfer him over to another police department. It's ridiculous that they allow somebody that's a rogue. But see, that's that thin blue line that they always keep talking about. You know, there's a lot of these guys who wear these uniforms that literally and figuratively think they're above the law.
Right. You right.
Yeah. It's
that's why we gotta understand police racial profiling, brutality, but who is policing the police?
Yeah, like KRS-One had a song years ago, and one of the lines was, "You were put here to protect us, but who protects us from you?" And to me, that's the thing. That's the thing that folks need to understand. And again, like you said, this is not a broad-based brush of police departments. But in that same vein, you keep hearing people saying, "Well, there's just a few bad apples." Well, where are how come the quote-unquote good apples aren't speaking up? How come we're not seeing more of those brothers that you ran into in Cleveland that saw that there was an injustice going on, and they let you go? I think that's the argument that comes from a lot of us. How come there aren't enough of these quote unquote good cops speaking up, as opposed to the bad ones that are out here killing, harassing, and torturing us as black men and black women?
Right. I know. Well, Cleveland is a fickle-minded city when it comes to black people. Taller than 99, 2000. He came to the city three times in 99, 1 month, and two times in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But Cleveland was one of the fastest-growing chapters in the country at that time.
Right.
And Cleveland was a city, according to all of the new Black Panther banner, he's called a loose cannon. Because no one else took up the banner to be the local champion.
And when you realize a city like Cleveland, and so many of these cities, whether it's Cleveland, whether it's New York, whether it's Philly, whether it's Miami, or you have these melting pots, and they always try to make it out that these cities are so progressive and everything else, but they're not. There's still that mentality of, I used to always hear from friends of mine in Philly was that there wasn't a difference between Philadelphia, Mississippi, and Philadelphia, PA. None whatsoever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that Brother Khalid would come down there frequently. What was you talked about how the authorities responded. How did the people respond to him? I would think that I'm sure that there were some people sadly, I'm sure there were probably some black people that didn't want to see him. But in your overall dealings, how was he, you know, how was he treated by the black community in during that time?
Well, the black community, a certain segment of it, loved Collins, and the bourgeois community, they didn't like him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these bougie niggas ain't like no Collins. They were scared of Collins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They write on them in the colleges, Ohio State, Cleveland State, Case Western Reserve. The college can't even come back to them there and go to college. They mm-hmm. Cleveland State for time. That's it. He's barred wow. from Kent State. He's barred from Kent, all of them. I went out there and debated a Jewish professor, Scornfield, Hornfield. And that was 2000, no, that was 1998. I was still in the nation at the time.
Right.
And boy, I tried to come back. In the form of the new Black Panther Party, I got pink slip. Georgia State University in Atlanta, Georgia, 2006. Went up in there, invited by Professor Charles E. Jones that wrote the book, Black Panther Party Reconsidered. After that Black History thing, I told Malik and Hachi at that time that pink slip couldn't come back at that damn college. That stuff is live and well. I couldn't come back. Couldn't come back.
Wow. Censorship. Just censorship. And the thing about it is that attitude hasn't changed. You know, that mentality hasn't changed.
Right.
You know, we know about the Tamir Rice thing, but people forget there was an incident a few years before that where you had this black couple, man and woman, where, if I remember correctly, what is it? They shot into their car 140-something times in their car.
Yeah, 137. That was a 137-shot incident here in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, again, just showing no remorse. I mean, look. If they did something, fine, we get it. But why would you try to justify 147 rounds of bullets on anyone? Crazy.
I was out here today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy.
Right, right.
All I was about here didn't want to take his shirt off.
Real crazy.
Right.
But that's because, you know, do you feel? I mean, you know, I think it's safe to say that attitude doesn't just prevail in Cleveland. It's all throughout this nation now.
Yeah, it's all over the country now. Not only in the city of Cleveland, but all over the country right there now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cleveland has a great history of black men standing up. This is the first city that had a major gun battle with the police. It wasn't Chicago, California, all that came later. Cleveland was the first city that had a major gun violence. Cleveland was the first city that let the first black mayor in the country call himself. Cleveland set the foundation.
We're losing you a little bit, Commander. Oh, I didn't get that last part you were talking about.
Yeah, I'm on job, but the store sometimes
has
bad pickups.
Got
all right, now by the window. See, at this
okay.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, now, show. That's powerful.
Right.
You all right?
Yeah, Emerging on the radio show.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Emerging on the radio show. On the radio show.
Are you on the radio show? Sorry about that. Okay, I'll call you later.
Yeah, we're on the air. We're on the air.
Yeah.
You go ahead, Commander. I didn't call. Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, I just, you know,
now,
I didn't get that. Go ahead. Having some problem, having some technical difficulties trying to reach the commander. Commander, you still there? We lost Commander for a quick second. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I went to St. Louis, Missouri the other day. They had Black Panthers from all over the country. No one knew about it at all. They had machine guns, recoilless rifles, grease guns, Lugers, 25 of them, all armed. And the chief of police met me at the airport when I arrived, and they were there, right there at the steps. He said, "You were violating the law." "Yeah, we're violating the law." He said, "We're tired of our white and black leaders, Jackie and Martin and Bobby, being killed. We're going to protect this man while he's here." And they didn't arrest one of them. Because they said, if you arrest one, then someone's going to die, because we are ready to kill. Black power means black dignity. Just as surely as you are proud to be white, we're proud to be black. Black is beautiful, baby. It's pretty. I always say to my brothers, I say, "Baby, don't worry about the white chicks. We got everything from chalk to charcoal in our own race." You know, see? Black is beautiful. Black is beautiful. Black power means dignity. It means we're going to walk side by side with you or through you. We're going to be with dignity and integrity. We don't want any more than you have, and we're not going to accept any less than you have. That's black power.
Of course, those are the words of the late, great Adam Clayton Powell, born in New Haven, Connecticut, but known, of course, for his time as a U.S. Senator from New York. And it's, you know, again, you could play that cut anytime and it will still ring true, even more so now. And again, to piggyback on what, you know, Commander was talking about in regards to what happened in Cleveland, the thing that people need to understand is that that could happen anywhere with any person. You know, that's the kind of that's the kind of siege that we as black men and black women have had to go through over these years. And this, again, this was even before this current president was in office. We've had to deal with this, you know, all of our lives, and even our ancestors, and even our relatives. You know, I constantly have to remind folks that we're fighting the same fights that our ancestors went through, and we have to defend ourselves by any means necessary. We're tired of having to justify ourselves as citizens. You know, we have been just as much of a part, if not more so, of this country than anyone, but we're still looked upon as second-class citizens. And that has to change. And it won't change until we take, you know, our power back. That scares some folks, so be it. But we're going to defend ourselves. That's the thing. We're going to defend our families. We're going to defend our friends. We're going to defend anything and everything we have to do to survive. That'll do it for this week's show. We're very glad that you were able to join us. We will be back again next Thursday, 6 p.m. here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Brother Anthony. Have a great day.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.